Good morning. Today we'll continue with thoughts on the sermons in the book of Acts. Today we'll look at a sermon found in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 33. As the outreach of the gospel increased, the diversity increased. First, only the Jews and Jewish converts in Jerusalem heard. Then Jewish people and proselytes in that area heard. Then Samaritans. Then people living in Palestine who were not Jews heard. Then people living outside Palestine who were not Jews heard. In today's lesson, people far from Palestine who knew little or nothing of the living God heard the message. Remember that Luke informed Theophilus he was compiling an account of things accomplished among us, Luke 1, verse 1. Luke's letter to Theophilus that we call Acts is a continuation of his compilation and research, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Luke presented to Theophilus a systematic account of the spread of the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. As we study Luke's researched account of the spread of the good news, think people, not just geography. Much more happened than giving diverse people new information. The resurrected Jesus challenged people to change the way they looked at life and the world. When people understood Jesus, they looked at the world differently. If the Jewish people were to accept God's act of making Jesus the promised Messiah, they had to look at life and the world differently. They had to see the nation of Israel from a different perspective. They had to change their understanding of what it meant to be God's people. If those who worshipped idols were to understand what the living God did in Jesus' death and resurrection, they had to look at life and the world differently also. They had to see deity differently. Their understanding of what it meant to listen to the gods had to change. The original language suggests that the philosophers in Athens who heard Paul considered him and his information dangerous, Acts 17, verse 18. It is possible that Paul was asked to speak to the council on Mars Hill to assess the danger. The majority's conclusion was, this man and his message are ridiculous, not dangerous. Paul, who often confronted hostile reactions, now confronted indifference. Why, initially, might they consider Paul and his message dangerous? Many factors could make his message dangerous. One primary factor was this. Paul challenged people to look at life and the world differently. Jesus Christ changed the way that Paul looked at the world. Jesus Christ changes the way any person looks at the world. The circumstances in Athens were unlike those in any previous mentioned place. With Paul's sermon in Athens, Luke took Theophilus to God's complete objective. The fact of Jesus' death and resurrection was good news, and this good news was to be shared with everyone. Even those who did not know the living gods needed to hear about Jesus. Paul was accustomed to strong reactions. Consider common reactions of unbelieving Jews who turned people against Paul in Acts chapter 13. Consider the reaction of people who followed Paul to other cities to assure that Paul would be rejected in Acts 14 and chapter 17. Paul was accustomed to strong reactions, positive and negative, but not to apathetic responses. Luke wanted Theophilus to understand that everyone, even those who did not know God, should have an opportunity to learn about the living God and His Son, Jesus. First, consider Luke's progression. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke informed Theophilus about Jesus' origin, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension. In Acts, Luke began with Jesus' post-resurrection appearances and His ascension. Progressively, Theophilus learned about the presentation of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. To the Jews and proselytes in Jerusalem, then to the Samaritans, then to people in Palestine who knew God but were not Jews, then on to the people outside of Palestine who knew God but were not Jews, and finally to philosophers and idol worshippers who did not know God. First century Jews in Palestine reacted against giving people who were not Jews direct access to God through Jesus. Acts chapter 11 records the first reaction. Leaders in the Jerusalem church criticized Peter for visiting Cornelius. Acts 15 records a second reaction. Some Christians in the Jerusalem church challenged the conversion of people who were not Jews. The third reaction is seen in the Jewish instigation of Paul's arrest and trials. Acts chapter 21, 17 through chapter 26. In each of the three instances, some Jewish Christians objected to giving people who were not Jews direct access to God through Jesus Christ. That fact deserves serious consideration. Devout Jews regarded Paul's outreach to people who were not Jewish as dangerous. They were not merely being contrary or isolationists. Their concern was based on what they believed were God's desires. How could a person with a background formed by idolatrous concept have a correct understanding of God and His ways? The process of inducting a proselyte into the Jewish community was a process of indoctrination. By controlling the convert's thinking and behavior, Jews were assured that the convert thought and lived as he or her should. This was the responsible way to assure change in the convert. Paul's use of faith in Jesus' death and resurrection and God's grace bypassed this important control process. It did not replace their process with a better control system. It bypassed their control system altogether. With Paul's visit to and teaching in Athens, Theophilus was introduced to the reaction of educated people who knew nothing of God or Jesus. Paul toured this highly religious, superstitious city. Verse 23. He was distressed to see such concern for deity combined with such ignorance of God. Verse 16. Initially, Paul taught in Athens as he taught previously in other cities. He taught in the synagogue and in the marketplace. Verse 17. Neither effort seemed to create fervent reaction or interest. Some who heard his teachings in the marketplace were critical. His encounters with the philosophers were not curiosity reactions. They regarded Paul as an argumentative person who used foolish talk to discuss demonic thoughts. Verse 18. Their invitation to Paul to address the council that met on Mars Hill was not an expression of polite interest. To them, Paul's message was strange, and they wanted to know its meaning. Verse 20. Their attitude was more, "How dangerous is this man?" than to give this man an opportunity. In verse 18, conversing can be translated disputing or arguing. The words idle babbler can be translated one who makes his living by picking up scraps. The literal translation of deities is demons. Paul did not receive a polite, curious invitation to speak to the renowned religious leaders of Athens. The terms they used in reference to Paul was derogatory. He was a pretender, a gossip, who, like some birds, picked up scraps of religious thoughts to share with others. In Paul's address, he walked a fine line. He tried to interest the council without endorsing their idolatrous concepts. He did not wish to alienate the council. He wanted them to give serious consideration to his message. However, Paul did not want them to think that Jesus represented another form of idolatry. Paul's challenge was enormous. His understanding of deity and their understanding of deity were different in every consideration. When differences are that great, it is almost impossible to be understood. It is difficult for words to convey concepts the first time new concepts are shared. Paul wanted them to listen, but he wanted them also to see the differences. Mere condemnation was not Paul's objective. The objective was to teach. The essential basic understanding of every religious view, of every faith system, is its concept of God. For first century Jewish people, their concept of God was their critical concept. If Jesus did not fit their concept of God, Jesus was foolishness. If Jesus fit their concept of God, Jesus was Savior. To the proselytes, the God-fearers, the idol worshippers, their concept of God was critical. To those whose concept of deity permitted a resurrected Savior, the news of Jesus was received as good news. To those whose concepts of deity excluded a resurrected Savior, the news of Jesus was ridiculous. Our personal concept of God determines what we will and will not think, consider, or even understand. If what people hear is in radical contradiction to their understanding of what and who God is, rarely will those people give serious consideration to what they hear. Commonly, when Jesus does not fit a person's concept of God, they refuse to give serious consideration to Jesus. Paul approached those people, the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers, on a common ground, the concept of God. He did not talk about Israel's history. Israel's history meant nothing to them. He did not use Jewish prophecy. Jewish prophecy meant nothing to them. He did not cite historical Jewish figures. The Jewish ancestors meant nothing to them. He began on the only common ground that they shared, the proper concept of God. Their many religious objects in Athens affirmed their interest in deity. Their desire to honor every god created an opportunity for Paul to present the god they did not know. It was common practice for Paul to begin his teaching to a person or audience by starting with an understanding they held. He proved that he could think their thoughts and concepts before he challenged them to consider his thoughts and concepts. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Carefully note the distinctions Paul drew between their idolatrous concepts of deity and the living God. The living God existed in distinct contrast to their concepts of deity. He is the source of the world and everything in the world. Verse 24. The living God is the God who creates. He rules the world, verse 24. The living God is the God who rules the entire world, not just an aspect of it. He sustains people. He's not dependent on people, verses 24 and 25. The living God takes care of people. People do not take care of the living God, as commonly was the situation with idols. All people are dependent on Him and need to acknowledge Him, verses 25 through 26. The living God should be acknowledged by all peoples of the world. He's not a Roman God, a Greek God, an Egyptian God, and so forth, but He is the universal God. He is approachable, verse 27. The living God wants to help. He wants people to come to Him. He's the God who cares. He is the source of life, verse 28. Life itself originates in the living God. In the correct view of God, it is inappropriate to picture God as an object of art formed through human workmanship using precious metals or stones, verse 29. To present God as an object of human art is an act of ignorance, verse 30. God overlooked such ignorance in the past, but now expects people to repent. People should repent of reducing God to an object of human art because God will judge all inhabitants of the earth on a specific day. An appointed man who was raised from the dead will serve as that judge. Verse 31. Paul's mention of the resurrection prompted an immediate reaction. Some mocked. Others said, "We will listen to you later." The majority did not give Paul's message serious consideration. He and his concepts were not dangerous, merely ridiculous. Paul made no attempt to persist. He simply left. Paul responded to emotional reactions, not to apathy. One member of the council, Dionysus, and one woman, Demarius, believed. Paul did not ask them to add Jesus to the gods they acknowledged. Paul challenged them to change the way they looked at the world. The basic challenge of Christianity is this: change the way you look at the world. A deep faith in Jesus Christ will change the way we look at existence, at the purpose of life, at good and right, at evil and its destructiveness, at the value of people, regardless of who they are, where they live, or what their status in this world is, at death and at life and after death. Faith in Jesus Christ will change the way we look at everything, including marriage, parenting, and jobs. If there's any way we can help you, would you let us know? And until next week, may God bless and keep you.